Hello, welcome listeners to Umhverfismál Hlaðvarp, or which is directly translated would be in English, Environmental Issues Podcast. My name is Aðalheiður and I'm your host in this podcast. All of my current episodes are in Icelandic, but this one will be only in English because today I have a very special guest join me. Her name is Steffi, and the topic of this episode will be ideas for New Year's resolutions and how to be more sustainable in 2022 since 2021 is almost over. Hello and welcome to this episode, Steffi. Would you like to tell listeners a little bit about yourself?
Yes, hi, and thank you very much again for inviting me to this episode. Yeah, my name is Steffi. I'm from Germany. I moved to Iceland 5 years ago, and I tried to live sustainable or more like a zero waste lifestyle in Berlin, where I lived before I moved here. And I tried to take this idea with me to Iceland, and I started to discover the sustainable lifestyle here in Reykjavik. And I started to talk to people and realized that not a lot of people, either foreigners or Icelanders, know how to, you know, how to be more sustainable in the city or in Iceland in general. So I started my Instagram account and sharing tips and connecting with people. And I'm really, really happy meeting a lot of interesting and great people around Iceland that messaged me. So I have a little bit of a community now, and keep sharing whatever tips or tricks or things that come in mind, covering sustainability, climate change, everything that I'm kind of interested in. I'm not really focusing on one topic only.
Yeah, I've seen your Instagram page and I'm following you, and it's very great inspiration. And like, if I need some tips, it's always nice to look at. And
thank you.
Really like it. I noticed you said zero waste one time, and I don't know really if everyone knows what that is. Could you explain just shortly what that is?
Yeah, definitely. And it's important to know that zero waste doesn't mean that I'm trying to produce a zero amount of waste, because I think that's impossible. So it's basically trying to avoid waste that goes to the landfill or has to be incinerated, burned, and trying to live in a way that everything becomes circular and you can reuse things or repair things or just use products or byproducts in a way that they don't have to be thrown away to a landfill in the end of their life cycle. And for me, it's also about minimizing consumption, which is not like a general rule or part of zero waste, but that's more for me that I'm the best way to not buy something new is to use what I have and not to over consume anything.
Yeah, that was very nice. Could you like tell me and listeners like your journey with zero waste and what inspired you to be more sustainable?
In Germany, it was more of a, I don't remember what the start was. I think I started with the topic of plastic. I think I said this before. I saw this movie, which is called Plastic Planet, that came out in 2009. And I have a book with the same name, which is actually in German. And I realized how much plastic waste there is in the world. And this brought me to all the other kind of issues that we have with our environment. So it's coming from plastic waste to general waste to climate change, overconsumption, fast fashion. I think this is a big topic, or was a big discovery for me, because I'm not taking myself out. I was shopping in fast fashion, Primark in Berlin. I'm very sorry to say this, but it happened. And just gaining the knowledge of what happens with our clothes, what happens with products we use, I started to search for solutions for myself, because I was really, you know, like everyone, I think, angry and disappointed in myself and in products that I buy. So I started to find ways to reduce very simple things, you know, like taking a bag with you when you go out of the house, so you don't have to take a plastic grocery bag, which is now banned in Iceland, but it was normal many years ago. Or taking a coffee cup with me, so I don't use one of these takeaway cups every single day. And it started out with these like simple things, and then it got into more and more, you know, it's like a whole new world opens to me. And what is interesting is my sister, for instance, she says that she thinks that I live very extreme because I'm getting more and more into things like, hey, how can I avoid to use so much toilet paper, for example? And I realized that in my bubble, I think it's normal to go steps further or search for new solutions. But for people on the outside, it looks sometimes like I'm extreme in what I'm trying to avoid. And that, yeah, and I searched for new solutions in Iceland, of course, as well. It was a little bit easier in Germany. We have these like bulk stores, you know, you go with your glass or bag and you fill them up. Here in Iceland, it's very difficult, but I'm pretty happy with, you know, we have so many of these like zero waste stores or sustainable stores. How do you call this? Like eco stores in Reykjavik, at least. And I know that there is a lot around the country as well. So I think we have a lot of opportunities in Iceland and in Reykjavik. So there's no, you know, there's no excuse to not live a little bit more sustainable.
Yeah, I understand. I agree with you. Also, now let's get into like the New Year's questions, because that is the topic of this episode.
Mm-hmm.
So the first question is really like not related to goals or resolution, but more New Year's Eve itself. Mm-hmm. So could you tell me, and you know, of course, listeners, your tips on how to be more eco-friendly and sustainable on New Year's Eve?
So New Year's Eve tradition kind of starts, I mean, do you want to know what I would do in Iceland? Because it's a little bit different, I think, from other countries. Like in Iceland, you have your, the fires, what is it called again?
The fireworks.
Not the fireworks, but before, you also have the bonfires, right?
Yeah. Yes.
So I would say, of course, there are these bonfires if there are no COVID restrictions, and it's okay to go there, but maybe not adding a lot of more private fires to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would start with that. I actually had this idea as like more a fun fact, because people ask me what to do with the period cup, like the menstrual cup.
Yeah.
If it's because it's out, it's made of silicone, and you shouldn't really throw it in the trash. I would say if you have a menstrual cup, you don't know what to do with it, and it's like not working anymore, it's 5 years old and you have to throw it, it would be really good to throw it in one of these bonfires, because I I researched this, and you can throw it in it will burn and not have any like toxic fumes. So this is a good thing to do on New Year's Eve, like to throw your period cup in the bonfire if you have an old one.
So it has some benefits, at least.
It has some benefits. Of course, fireworks is, as I mentioned before we started to record, is difficult because it has such a tradition in Iceland to support the search and rescue team by buying fireworks. And the search and rescue team gets, I think, most of their funding out of fireworks sales in Iceland. And
yes,
this is what I was told a lot of times. So if it would be possible just to enjoy the fireworks that are already happening around Reykjavik anyway, and instead of buying a lot of fireworks, I would recommend to support the search and rescue by, you know, whatever people would spend on fireworks, 10,000, 20,000. I don't really know what people spend, because I never buy fireworks.
People spend like 100,000 around that.
Yeah. So maybe just find as an alternative to I don't really know, to maybe just watch it, you know, outside. Also considering that there is a lot of, I don't know how it is in Borgarnes, it's probably similar like in Reykjavik, because the pollution starts way before 12 o'clock. It starts at 11, and then it's so polluted and dusty that you cannot even see the fireworks anymore. And people with kids, maybe, I don't have kids, so I don't know if they get disappointed if you don't provide them with anything, but I would stay away from everything that is just these like plastic pop-outs that I remember as a kid, but you put on the table and you pull something and the little plastic figures pop out. So instead, maybe just have a little surprise package with some little snacks in it for kids, or just like finding an alternative. And there are great fireworks you can watch on the TV. It's probably really a bad alternative, but sometimes we just have to also think about the health of especially kids, and their lungs are just developing. And if they inhale all this pollution, it's really, really bad for their development. So maybe just talk to kids especially, and why you don't have fireworks. I don't really know about any like environmental friendly fireworks. I don't think they exist.
No, don't think so either.
And for the evening itself, I would stay away from, I think a lot of people love confetti. Is it confetti? Like the glittering stuff everywhere as decorations. I would go to a natural decoration, just what you find in nature, maybe some needles from, you know, from a tree, something like this, what you have on Christmas as well. And you can also have confetti from leaves, you know, if you collect them in the, well, it's maybe too late in Iceland for that, but if you collect leaves and you stamp like a circle out of them, you can have like natural confetti. So there are some alternatives, and stay away from everything disposable and glittery, because glitter is always, most of the time, something plasticky that you just have to throw away. So going back to like a natural decoration.
Yes, that's also very pretty. Next part of this episode will be like about not the eve, but how you can set resolutions and goals to be more sustainable. And the first question I have is, for a complete beginner, what would you recommend as a first step or goal for the new year to be more sustainable?
So basically, like, you mean if someone has no clue what to do?
Yes.
And I would start with the 101 simple things, just the habits, because these having a habit or including or incorporating a habit in your life is really important for that. And one of these habits should be that every time when you leave the house, you have a reusable bag in your purse or in your backpack, and a reusable water bottle and coffee mug. So these are my three main things that I always will have, because maybe you go grocery shopping and you need a bag, and then maybe you get a coffee, then you need this mug and water. I mean, Icelandic water is the best, right? So we can get it from every tap and avoid buying any plastic water bottles. I think this is the simplest thing to incorporate. I cannot leave the house without having these three things. And the other thing I would recommend is just trying to find out, you know, looking at the trash that you collect at home, and try to figure out of what you have, what kind of trash you have the most. You know, I don't know what people have. Maybe it's takeaway or it's some plastic trash, and then find alternatives for that. So nothing that is like not starting with anything. This is what is super expensive or has a lot of effort. So just starting by more like analyzing what habits you have, or maybe there is, you know, maybe people go to work with their car, and instead of going with their car, they can figure out maybe every other day they can take the bus. Maybe there is a good bus line, or they can take the bike or walk. At some places, they usually take the car, because I realize Icelanders take their cars everywhere.
Yes.
So I think looking at simple things that don't cost a lot of money or effort. And what I would also recommend is to keep these like pretty nice glass jars that people would usually throw away, and keep them for food storage, because they're so practical. I either keep them to, you know, to freeze my soups, or I keep food in them. And they're so practical, and you don't have to buy expensive, you know, takeaway containers. So you can really use what you already have. Same with like, if people want to avoid buying plastic or aluminum wrap to wrap their food that they store in the fridge, they can just use one, you know, dish to cover it up. So really simple things to rethink the way what you use every single day. I would start with that, yeah.
In the long run, these things will also come out cheaper for people.
Yeah, definitely. Because if you go into a, you know, eco-friendly store, for example, in Reykjavik, and you look at prices of, I would say, soap dishes or takeaway containers, you would easily spend 10,000, 20,000 krona, but you really don't need to start with this. Or wax paper wrap. I use my wax paper instead of wrapping things in, you know, disposable paper. But I think you can really start with something simple. One thing actually that helps me a lot that is a little bit on the more expensive side is the stasher bags. It's like these silicone bags where you can freeze things or you know, just use them as a storage container for the fridge or for whatever. They're so versatile. You can use them for so many things.
Oh yeah, I also have a stasher bag, and you can microwave them and put them in a dishwasher and everything.
Yeah, I think they're super, super useful. Although I know some people hate them because they don't like silicone, to touch silicone. They think it's disgusting. But if people want to invest in something in the beginning, they should invest in like a silicone stasher bag, because they're really, really useful for a lot of things. Yeah, it's really simple to start with a few things in the beginning, I believe.
Yeah. Can you also give a few suggestions for like people who are more advanced, of like what different areas of people's life can they change so they can everyone can find something that works for them?
So more advanced, maybe. Maybe let's go to the bathroom area. I always feel like there's a lot of things that people can do. Bathroom and the laundry. I think these are the areas where we would, if I would buy like the normal consumer, what companies would expect me to do, there's a lot of plastic and disposables involved in buying washing liquids, in buying like, you know, laundry detergent in the plastic bottles, or buying shampoo and conditioner in plastic bottles. So there's a lot people can do by filling up. You have this company in Iceland, it's called Fill Iceland. It's originally from the UK. And I know they have stores and like fill up stations around the country. So it doesn't matter where people live in Iceland. And you can just bring your own container and fill up all kinds of things, starting from, you know, washing soap for your hands, for dishes, for the laundry or floor cleaning, toilet cleaning, all these kinds of things. But if you're like me and you don't have a car and you just want to walk to places, I recommend buying these little Ocean Saver tablets, because then you just have a tablet and it's plastic free. It just looks like it's wrapped in plastic, and you just mix it with water in a bottle and you have a cleaning liquid. I use it for the toilet, like a toilet cleaning spray. And then you don't have to carry like a lot of weight on you if you just use these little tablets. So this is something people can do. And for hair, I use shampoo bars. It's a little bit difficult to find the right shampoo bar. Because once you buy it and you don't really like it, you have this shampoo bar. So what I do is, if I have a shampoo bar for my hair that doesn't work for my hair, I just use it for my body, because shampoo in the end is shampoo, and you can use it for all kind of body parts. This is just something that companies trying to tell you, that you need 5 different products or 20 different products for your body. It doesn't really matter. Like, as long as you're kind of, you know, can clean yourself with a shampoo and maybe conditioner bar. So this is more like of the advanced things in the bathroom and in the kitchen.
Yeah, those are really nice ideas. The next part is more related to like mindset and things like that. So like, how can a person make it easier to follow their zero waste goals and, you know, overall make it easier?
I think you need some, what is it called in English, like intrinsic motivation. You need something that I think that motivates you to keep going. And it depends on, you know, some people need to watch a movie that is about, you know, waste management and how much waste we produce. If someone like me sees this like mountains of waste that we produce, even in Iceland, if you watch Saiva's show on Roof, which probably some people do, and there is an episode about the landfill in Reykjavik, and you see how much is landfilled. I think that should motivate people to reduce, reduce consuming disposable products. Something this like shock effect motivates you. But another motivation can just be to save money, because it's definitely possible to save money with that. And now stores or coffee shops give you discount if you bring your... No, they don't give discount. They charge you more if you don't have a reusable container or coffee mug. So I think it's definitely something we should try for ourselves, to be more conscious about our impact and what individuals can do, and also think about saving money at the same time.
Yeah, that sounds good. And how can like people be more positive towards zero waste?
Do you think some people are negative about it?
Not really negative, but I just like, there's not, you know, people think it's like too much. I think you said it in the beginning, like people are overwhelmed by all of it.
I think it should be seen as an opportunity to learn more about yourself, and also to realize that you don't need as much as you think you need. Because when I started, I thought, no, I don't want to, you know, brush my teeth with these like tooth tabs. I didn't want to do this because I found that they're disgusting. So I was really against it. And then I tried it a few years later when more companies developed better tastes. And now I don't use, toothpaste anymore. I use these tablets that I just buy without any waste. I just fill them in a glass jar in the store and take it home with me, so there's no waste on the line. And I think it's about exploring what you can do and be trying to be open-minded, and also being able to fail, you know, be positive about failing. Because, you know, maybe like I bought a conditioner bar for my hair and I didn't like it because it didn't help me. So also acknowledging, okay, this is not for me, so we'll try something else. And there are a lot of really, let's call them like big influencers on Instagram. Catherine Kellogg is like the zero waste queen, I would say, on Instagram. She's American. And she gives a lot of tips every single day, and it can feel overwhelming. But just take the tips that fit into your lifestyle and that you want to do. Don't do something that you don't like. Like, don't use a stasher bag if you find silicone, you know, disgusting. Or don't use a menstrual cup if you're not feeling comfortable with it. So don't put it as a stamp on you and feel like, oh, I'm trying to be zero waste, but I just don't like tooth tablets, and feel bad about it. Just be like, you can do small things. You can do it 10%, you can do it 20%, you can do one thing a day, one thing a week. Just don't feel like there is this pressure of being part of some, you know, zero waste high cycle, because that doesn't exist, and people produce waste. Because something to keep in mind is that products are designed to create waste. It's not our fault, the consumers or people's fault, that the, you know, the economy is not designed for a zero waste lifestyle. We're just slowly kind of transforming into a more sustainable product life cycle of many companies and repairing things, but really the 21st century is not designed for zero waste, and we have to acknowledge that and trying to make the best out of it.
Yes, I completely agree with you. That was the last question, but I have, okay, that was the next last question. I always end each episode with something positive that is happening related to the environment or climate change or something. So what positive things, just to reflect on 2021, do you think happened this year regarding that?
Oh, there's so many things I think that happened. I was really happy about the new rule, which is, I think, from the European Union, and Iceland adapted it as well, is that you cannot give out disposable containers anymore without charging people for it. And that sounds negative for us consumers, but I think it's a positive thing because it's about consciousness, and it's about people now see, oh, I have to pay for, you know, a disposable container. So why do I have to pay? And it starts to create this thinking process in people. So for me, it's something very positive to create awareness that disposables are called disposables because we throw them after use. So bringing this new kind of rule into the country that people have to pay extra for it, which should motivate them to bring their own containers, is something that was this on the zero waste side was really positive for me. And there are probably many, many more things that I forgot, because this year was just it just feels like it went through in such a rush. But yeah, this was one thing that I was really, really happy. And I know there's another thing I was happy about, and I cannot remember now.
Yeah, there were many things.
I think so. I mean, that the Reykjavik, one more thing that was recent, sorry.
Is no problem.
In terms of a circular economy, which is something that I'm pretty much involved in researching right now, is that the Reykjavik Tool Library, Munasapnith, I think it's in Icelandic, they had a new project where they opened a self-checkout library in Kópavogur, in the Bókasafnið there. So now you can have a membership with the tool library. You go to the library in Kópavogur, and you can check out tools to use at home. Like I'm, for example, shared this reel where I used the ice machine to create ice cream. And I used it at home and I brought it back. And the good news is that they will open many, many more of these kind of self-checkout libraries around Iceland, around the country. So people will be able to, instead of buying tools or a food processor or a popcorn machine or a hammer, they can just rent it for 7 days, and that will create, hopefully, our circular economy in the future. So these are the very, very happy news.
That is so nice, because like tools and all these like different kitchen items, you don't use them all the time, they just are laying around. So that's very nice.
Yeah.
I hope everyone learned something. I did from this episode, and got some ideas and goals to kick off 2022 strong. Thank you so much for chatting with me, Steffi.
Thank you for having me.
If you want to see more of her, you can check out her Instagram. Wait, what is your username?
My username is Waste Free Steffi, in one word.
Okay, so you can follow her there. Thank you so much for coming to my podcast, and thank you for listening, everyone. And I'm so grateful for everyone that has listened this year. Bye-bye. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.